Where my dogs at?
We right here, dog.
Where my dogs at?
Right here, dog.
Where my dogs at?
We right here, dog.
Now where my dogs at?
Frank.
I said, get at me. He talking to you, know me, but that rap beat.
Get at me.
Ultra skin seats like it's acne.
Get at me.
Never tacky jeans made by acne. Govern up attackies and patakis.
It's about to get uglier than Balenciaga's.
You in a family, bro? You fight with your brother to the end. It don't matter what situation it is. Come on, y'all. Let's get it.
All right, it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber from the class of 1994. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail. And my family, Sammy D. What's up, fam?
What's up, fam? Where my dogs at? Man, I love that drop. Yeah.
Where my dogs at?
I love that. Love a road win. But it was such a good road win just to cap off the week. And now I was stoked going into this week. I had to curl my emotions after Richmond, but St. Joe's on the road. And seriously, we lost by like 45, I feel like, last year. And we're completely run out of the gym. And then to hear my favorite sound, crickets, at the end of that game. I'm holding my ear. Crickets. That's all I heard coming out of that game.
Well,
that is the most beautiful thing.
We're going to talk a lot about that game. I'll hold one of my comments. I have a comment that I thought was hilarious. I have not had any time to do any savage memes on this game, but yes, there's a couple that I want to post. Now I'll kind of maybe give a little tip of what I'm going to.
Cheese Whiz Hawk crying, you know, tears of Cheese Whiz. That was good.
Thank God for AI. They put the Cheese Whiz crying tears. I don't know whoever the robots were came up with that troll. So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I said a sad hawk mascot with a jersey in this color with SJU on it. Is sitting on a pile of cheesesteaks crying.
Love the robots.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. You know what's kind of funny? One of my friends, you know, in my other job, I do a lot of coaching, a lot of podcasting, writing. Someone actually put all my work, my life's work, into ChatGPT and created a Dobber chatbot. So you can just talk to Dobber. So I'm going to do that this week on the other podcast. I think I'm going to log in and talk to myself.
Oh my gosh. My
AI version of myself. So you know, who knows? At some point down the road, maybe we'll just have AI versions of Sammy D and Dobber breaking down games, you know?
That might be good. That might be good content right there.
Well, let's roll back the clock. Go back to Tuesday night in the Genteel Arena against the Richmond Spiders. Sammy, what do you got in this game? What did you see? Obviously, heartbreaker at the end, but...
It was a heartbreaker at the end. My tagline for this, and many Rambler fans, Two Rambler, you know, podcast listeners will agree to this, I'm sure. This was a Valley-type game with A-10 bodies. This was not, you know, because the Valley was very slow, methodical, defense oriented, but you didn't have many athletes. You may have one guy, or you know, someone may show up. But this was literally, they had guys that were A-10 bodies. They had Quinn, the center. You had King. You had the other gentleman whose name totally escapes me at the moment.
They had another guy coming off the bench that was a big guy.
Oh, Isaiah Bigelow. And then, yeah, they had another center who came off the... And so, like, they had three or four guys. And they were solid. They didn't make many mistakes. Yes, they had 11 turnovers, but this was a dog fight. I've heard this term used a lot, and I'm just like, I don't, but okay. It was a rock fight. It was a rock fight, you know, and I'm just like, okay. But
wait, who says it's a rock fight?
I've heard it a couple, none of us, we don't talk that way, but I've heard it used on TV as the guys are announcing, the color guys, this is just going to be a rock fight. I've heard that a couple different times. Our good friend from St. Louis, that's what he used. That was a terminology he used. But this was a quintessential.
You mean the guy who can't tell Dame Adelakun apart from Patrick Mwamba?
Right. But it was a quintessential A-10 conference game where it's like two teams who are really good defensively. Richmond a little better than Loyola presently. I don't think that will be the case at the end of the season, but like they're a really good defensive team and also a team that can score, and Loyola's defense came to play. And so that's the initial thoughts from that game. And it was just like, that was a lot of fun to watch. It was nail biting because it went right down to the wire. But there were a couple things that jumped out to me that we can improve upon. And I think this is a win. But again, last year, we kind of showed up a little bit at Richmond, but then we lost by, I just had the schedule from last year up. We lost by three, but it was one of those games where it's like, we thought we had it, but then we just kind of flittered away. This was a game that was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it just came down to, we didn't make any some free throws.
Yeah. And I mean, when your leading scorer goes 0 for 3 with no free throws,
right?
That's a problem. That's just a problem. I mean, so I do think we do need a manimal strategy when he's struggling in games. You know, to give him some looks, to let him see the ball go through the hoop, to clear out a little bit so he can make something happen. Obviously, there was some double teaming. They were good defense, but I just feel like
he just had some fouls that then he took him off the court. You can't score when you're not on the court.
Right. Right. I think they called it out on the broadcast that there's sometimes where he does help defense and then gets just a step or two away from his man. And instead of getting his feet set to get in front of a guy, he's reaching, and, you know, he's a big guy. I touched his arm once and, you know, it left a bruise. I mean, the guy is a big guy. So when he reaches out his big arms, you know, it's going to get called sometimes. And obviously there were a couple offensive fouls where there was some incredible acting jobs by Richmond. There was one, I don't know if it was against him. I think it might have been against Dame, but there was one where the guy just like looked like he took contact and then flopped back and they called it on Dame. I mean, so these guys are crafty, and what a horrible thing in sports, flopping. I just think it's horrible in soccer. It's rampant in men's soccer. And they've done some curtailing of it in the NBA. They started calling flop rules. And I really feel like these NCAA refs, if you know how they are always trying to impose new rules, and they're like, that's not a charge because, you know, he wasn't set enough, or they're trying if they want to, one thing that no one will argue with is flopping. If you see a guy flop back, and I swear, if you go to the monitor, this is what I'd love. Go to the monitor and just watch it. And if it's a flop, call a technical. And it'll disappear in the game. It'll completely disappear in the game. And
or,
I know,
or if it is a charge, that you have a challenge where the coach could challenge. Like, I think that's a flop. And if it is, then it's called the other way.
I would love a flop challenge would be great. And not only that, but, you know, I saw this in the game against, that Philly team. What's the Hawks? You know, Eric Reynolds, whenever he experienced any sort of contact, jerks his head back like a Muppet. Yeah. And even if there's no real contact, he just jerks his head back. And you know, like, come on. That's kind of
times than not, you're going to get a call as an offensive player.
Yeah. So every time he has a little bit of a touch, every time he experiences some contact, should not be like this, his head jerking back. So I do think we're going to have to figure this out a little bit. Phil needs to figure out how to get fouls because for whatever reason, you know,
I think in comparison to the two games.
Yes.
Phil against Richmond, he played 14 minutes.
Right.
You're a guy that should normally play as much more than that. You're not going to be able to have success playing 14 minutes. Whereas against St. Joe's, he played 29 minutes.
I mean,
so he was on the court, you know, for a majority of the game. So, but with that said, I think he played much better in the second half of St. Joe's, where he initiated contact to then score and then was at the free throw line. And that's the Manimal doing Manimal things. And unfortunate with Richmond, he had a charge or a defensive foul, and then he's off the court and just like, you're not going to score if you're sitting on the bench. You're not going to have impact on the game. And that's how that game played out. And there were a couple games like that last year where he just wasn't on the court and you took him out of the game. Then, hey, bravo to you, Richmond. We cannot guard him. So let's get him off the court. You know, let's go at him. Let's attack him. And hopefully he gets a defensive, you know, foul. And then if he's, you know, off on the offensive side or defensively, hey, we're going to stand up straight. And then if he bodies us because he's so large, fall down. Like, hey, that's what I would do. They played it exactly as I would have played it because he's a big guy. He hit you. You fell down. You know, it's like that makes total sense. So it's like kudos to Richmond. It just in those games where you see that coming, you know, Ramblers, it's like someone else needs to step up. And I think I
agree. I will just say, you know, just in terms of minutes, you know, Patrick Mwamba last two games, he played 7 minutes in the Richmond game, scored once. Yep. He played 10 minutes in the 10 minutes in the St. Joe's game and scored three times. I need that production from Manimal. I'm saying there are going to be games where he's going to be out of it, but I still need 6 points.
Yeah, I mean,
and I need some foul.
He was 0 for 2 from 3, and then honestly, remember going back to watch the game, he shot a 3 to start off the game. Okay, he missed it, but then comes down, he gets a real quick foul, and then an offensive foul as soon as he comes back on the court, and then it was like he never saw the first half, and so it's just like.
I agree, but what I'm saying is we need a Manimal strategy. If he's getting double teamed stuff for this, we need ways to get him the ball. We need the ways to get him space. So, yeah,
agreed.
Just because he's such a mismatch and he causes problems for other teams, and if he is getting double teamed, then we need to exploit it. We need ways to make it. Right. He can be a decoy, but I didn't see him being a decoy in this game.
Yeah. Well, because he wasn't on the court.
Right. Okay. Well, admit it. So I wanted to go back to one thing that I heard on Rambler Nation a lot about the technical foul from Dez.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. We don't want a technical foul when we go up by 8. Jaden didn't even get the technical foul. He made the 3. But that did not lose us the game.
No.
I'll be very clear to everyone who has that take. You're wrong. That did not lose us the game. Phil Alston having 0 points, that's the thing that really hurt us. And then, as you pointed out, if we would have shot our average from free throw, we would have won too. So we're missing free throws, which has been an Achilles heel for us. And our best player had a donut in the game. So, yeah, you know, Dez got chippy. And according to Drew... or not Drew, according to people sitting close to Drew, he was arguing not that Dez had chirped, but that there was a lot of chirping on both sides.
Exactly.
And this is one thing I would love to draw attention to, Rambler Nation. I saw a lot of people posting about undisciplined play. And right. I think there's almost this make Ramblers great again idea. Like somehow, you know, in the Porter era, there was never any fouls. We never made mistakes. We right. never lost leads. We never, you know, it's just, like
revisionist history.
Revisionist history. And then this discipline word, which feels a little bit like a whistleblower, like we're somehow not organized or are kind of cavalier.
Right.
And I do not like that at all. I don't like it when I hear, you know, keyboard warriors talking about discipline. These guys freaking practice like crazy.
Yeah.
This is a pro, a D1 athlete's life is gym, is practice, is go to class and sleep. There is no break for any of these guys, and they don't have the summers off anymore either. So right. So undisciplined is a horrible label when you just see one tech. And here's the reason why it's really important this year. Loyola got ragdolled by this league last year. You think any of these guys like that? No. So what are they playing with on their shoulder?
A giant chip.
A giant chip. And you know what? I love it. I love it. Get a tech Agreed. Every game. Get Amen. A tech every game. And you know, Tom, you know, the next game, Tom Welch got a whatever. And I heard the undisciplined thing again. Wait, you're calling Tom Welch undisciplined? The guy's like a lifer in our program. Like, what are you talking about?
I was reminded of the last time I saw Tom Welch get teed up, and no one complained about it that time. And does anyone remember what happened? Oh, I looked it up. It was in the Missouri Valley tournament against Bradley when Tom Welch went from the on the baseline and literally tomahawk jammed over rink mast and then did the, you know, bop on the head thing and then got teed up and of course got pulled out right away. No one complained. Everyone was like, why did he get tea? It's like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Everyone was there for it a couple years ago. Like, oh yeah. Tom Welch. Yeah. And then now it's like, we're undisciplined. Fire Coach Drew.
That would never happen in Porter's era.
That was undisciplined. I'm telling you, gosh, this is driving me nuts. Rambler Nation, get over it. Drew's different. He's a player's he's a player's coach. He yep. played the game at a high level. Like he's a coach's son. He's got a different swag. He does things differently, but get over it.
Right.
Get over it. It's not Porter anymore. And even when it was Porter, it wasn't this amazing, like, you know, whatever. It's like we still made mistakes back then.
Right. We still had times where there was 4 minutes of nothing from an offense.
Yeah.
And so, it was just like, ugh.
So I love the chip, and I love the chip on Braden Norris's shoulder. I think he particularly, his game is going nuts in A-10 play. I think Jaden Dawson has a lot to prove after getting hurt last year. And then let's not forget our... who may be our leading scorer now. I haven't looked at the numbers recently. Des Watson. Where did he come from? Davidson. You think he doesn't have beef with some of these teams? That he doesn't have some chip for some of these guys? So get used to it, man. This is a tough league. And this league wasn't kind to us.
No, without a doubt. No, they still are not kind. They still think we're a joke.
Yeah.
They still think... you know, you hear the term in all the A-10 talk is pillow fight, pillow fight, pillow fight. And all of a sudden they're shocked like, wait, Loyola may not be a pillow fight team.
Eric Reynolds, the second, had this shit-eating grin on his face the first half. And we slapped that shit off of his face. You should have saw him at the end of the game. When Miles blocked that shot... and sat him down literally in the first row. He fell back into the stands and sat down for just a second. No more smile. No more joking around. I even looked to see if he went through the handshake line. Because I think he did. I wasn't able to verify it. I wasn't able to verify it, but boy, look at him in the first half. Just thinking.
The first half they kind of held him in check, and also in the second half he started doing Eric Reynolds things. But then those last 2 minutes or last 3 minutes of the game, defense clamped down, and he was an ofer. And all of a sudden you heard crickets, and he's crying and sitting in the front row wondering what happened. Making life choices.
Yeah. I just love it. And we need those games regularly. We need lots more of these. There's more guys that really, treated us poorly last year, and it's going to be great. And that Hawk looked like he didn't have any energy.
let's hold off on, but let's put a bow on Richmond. I looked back over my notes and I was reminded that with the tech, yes, unfortunate to happen. I would have liked to have seen the refs, stop play and be like, or at the next whistle, like, hey, let's knock it off. But instead, they just went right with the tech. The thing that was a little disturbing about it at the moment was Richmond went on an 8-0 run following the tech. That's a problem. But the thing that was more concerning, and it was addressed, was the fact that the King guy had back-to-back threes that were uncontested. And it was a defensive lapse for that moment. And the Ramblers still had an opportunity at the end to tie the game or even win the game. So here were two instances where they lost an 8-0 run, so then that allowed Richmond to take the lead. And then they had these back-to-back threes that it gave Richmond a lead. And the Ramblers still fought back to make it where it was like, hey, this is a one possession game. I'll sign up for that every day. I've said this at the beginning of the year. I've said this as we've been on this podcast, is like, do we belong on the court? Last year, there were many nights we did not. But the Ramblers have shown at home and now on the road, we've come to play. We got a giant chip on our shoulders, and we're not holding back, and we're going to play Rambler basketball that everyone has grown accustomed to. And this is what people should be feared about.
The only team in the entire A-10 that I've seen that maybe is not going to overlook us, but should feel confident against us is Dayton. Every other team, when they see our name on the schedule, home or away, should be nervous.
I totally agree with that, and I would second that. But one caveat. We have someone that can stand in front of Deron Holmes and defend him. I mean, Ruben has shown that, hey, he can defend the big. And it's going to, at least in no other team that I've watched of Dayton play, and I've watched them now a couple of different times because my wife is a Dayton alum, so when they're on, we'll watch, whatever. No one has been able to stand in front of him. No one has been able to challenge him where he's just kind of had whatever he wants to. And Loyola has the only that I've seen up to this point, a defender that could somewhat slow him down. I'm not saying you're going to stop him, but at least cause what we have seen in all of these games, the inefficiency of their number one offensive player. Because even Reynolds of St. Joe's, he had his points, but it was 7-21. It was this like 30% shooting and just like inefficiency. Where it's like that's where I think Miles could prove, some problems for Deron. But still, I agree with you. I don't think Dayton's thinking we got a problem against Loyola.
Well, and we saw this now in two games, maybe even three games if you put St. Louis in. Each one of these teams has, I think, 7-footers, right?
Yeah.
And the ESPN guys, when they weren't interviewing Joe Lunardi, they talked specifically about how Dame and Miles were not scared of the big and Phil. Right. So we did shut down Deron Holmes in one game last year.
Yeah.
And we didn't have Miles Rubin and we didn't have Dame Adelakun. So it'll be curious to see what happens in these games against Dayton this year. Do we have one game or two?
Just one. They come to Loyola, which is, I was a little disappointed. I thought for certain Dayton and St. Louis would be the home and away teams, you know, forever on Loyola's schedule, but that didn't happen. Oh, well.
No, it was very poor planning because no one is traveling from some of these teams on the East Coast. No one's going to come to Chicago from what are some of the, I'm trying to think, there's a couple of teams that I just don't think travel. George Davidson. Mason.
Davidson. No one's coming from Davidson.
You know what? I did go to a Davidson game a couple of years ago where.
But that was a novelty. No one's coming this year.
Okay.
Like, no one's coming from North Carolina up to Chicago.
Okay. All right. It does seem like you should really, these Midwest matchups, you should really maximize, put them on the weekend so people can travel.
Nobody from North Carolina is coming to Chicago February 4th. No.
Right.
Not happening.
Right.
Like, they're like, not going to do it. All right, hit the music. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll break down St. Joe's.
Well, what do I have?
Or maybe.
What do I have? There was something
usually
I wanted.
Some sort of.
Okay, here we go. Get it.
What do we need? We'll take Jimmy to come.
Get it. Wolfpack. I don't have it. Why isn't it working?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, this is Wolfpack Jimmy. Wolfpack Jimmy. Wolfpack Jimmy. Wolfpack's back this week. Wolfpack's back.
Pumped for this, you know, the students to come back, sign girl. Pumped to see what she's got. I know she's been, you know, burning the midnight oil, working on new content. So I'm excited to see what our gal CC has.
By the way, I did meet a Wolfpack member. Claude is her name, short for Claudia. Claudia, shout out Claude. She made the broadcast the other night. I think it's because there was only a few students at the game. So yes. At one point, the broadcast panned to her and her buddies, who are diehard locals who must have came in. I think she's from the southwest suburbs, so she must have come up for the
Orland Park.
I believe it was Plainfield or something like that.
Well, that's way south. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't remember exactly, Claude. If you listen, feel free to, you know, if you know what a podcast is, she's like 20. she might not listen to 53-year-old guys on podcasts, but Claude did make the TV broadcast. So shout out to her because, you know, I talk about my goals. You know, every year I come into the season, I look at what I want to try to accomplish as a fan. Of course, I want to get a pizza from JB Alberto's. I want to get the T-shirt, which I still have not been able to get. Although
Jumbotron.
Although shout out to Papa D, our dad. He got a T-shirt during the Richmond game. Yes, he got a T-shirt during the Richmond game. He was sitting with,
and I saw him on the telecast as well.
He was sitting with Steve Timble in the 100s, and
thanks for the ticket.
Yes, and he got very into the T-shirt giveaway. He was waving his arms, and one of the Ramblets, I don't even know if that's the name of them. The
Ramblers cheer squad. Let's call them what they are. They're not Ramblets.
Let's call them the Rambler Cuties.
No, they're not. No, they are Division I athletes. They represented Loyola well in the national cheerleading championships.
All right, it's time for the Rambler Cuties. I like it.
I'm sorry. I just cannot envision Alex saying it's time for the Rambler Cuties.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Wait, let's see. Let's see if he. Fans, get on your feet for the Rambler Cuties. Oh, that'd be great. Okay.
That would be.
Okay. If anyone wonders what that is a reference to, well, you haven't been listening to the Rambler, two Ramblers long enough.
Go back to season one.
Season one. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into this game. There's so many different takes. Now, I was watching the game at our fantasy football champions dinner.
Yes.
And the celebration really, I mean, the Loyola was just the cherry on the top beating the St. Joe's Hawks. The real celebration, though, was that Sammy D did not win the championship this year. Because since you've been a stay-at-home dad, you've won like three in a row, which because you just you sit on the waiver wire all year long.
No, I was going for the thumb. I had won previously and then had won three jerseys back-to-back-to-back. So I was going for the thumb.
You've been called the Bill Belichick of stay-at-home dads. Who just sit on the waiver wire all day long.
Ironically, I knew this was going to happen. I said, going into the playoffs, I said, hey, I'll have a good first week and then I'll have a down second week and then I'll have a monster third week. And sure enough, it happened that way. So lost, had my lowest point total of the entire season in the semifinals and then had my second highest point totals in the third place game against our lovely sister Maggie and the chicken bits. But so took third place this year. So not exactly ideal. But.
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge next year because I think it's going to be a 12-team league. I think we're expanding. Morgan, our niece, is going to take a full team. She's tired of living in the shadow of of the chicken bits of our sister and co-managing. And then I think your namesake, little Sammy D.,
nice.
Will be taking over a team. Although when I asked him who he wanted to draft as quarterback, he said, I think he said Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, let him get healthy before you draft him. And then the other guy he was interested in getting was Justin Fields. And I'm like, yeah, let's talk a little more about fantasy strategy versus Madden NFL. Like, I think his whole thing is like Madden NFL. So I'm sure that's what he's thinking. A healthy Aaron Rodgers is good in Madden NFL, but that's not who you necessarily get week to week in the real NFL.
All right. So Loyola goes to St. Joe's almost to the day, January 14th of last year, the Ramblers went to St. Joe's and got boat raced. They lost by 31. I'm looking now at 86-55. They did not, it did not show well. Phil had 16 points that game, but everybody was just like not there. They shot 25% from three, 39% overall, but St. Joe's, they shot 45% from the field, 46% from three. They hit 14 of 30 from three and 18 of 22 from the foul line. So that game was not even close. It was never in doubt. Now, flash forward to yesterday, the 13th of January, and the Ramblers came to play. And it was so exciting. I was so nervous for this game because I hate when an opponent has a absolute like gut check game the game before. Because St. Joe's had played St. Louis. They were up huge, up 20 points, and ended up losing that game. I turned it off. I actually was watching the game because I've now become an A-10 fan. I don't know what happened to me. I hate myself because now I'm watching games that don't apply to me, but yet I'm watching them. And so anyway, I was watching that St. Louis, St. Joe's game and I'm like, it's 20 points. This game's over. And I turned it off because I have a life. And all of a sudden I turned it back later and realized I just saw the line. I'm like, how did they win? And Jimerson went off and somehow St. Joe's, just like imploded. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that does not bode well for the Ramblers going to home. This is their first home opener in the A-10, I was like, this is a bad omen.
I agree. Totally unbelievable. Ramblers. Totally unbelievable that you have a life.
uh, That was good.
No, you're right. I had the same thought. I thought, oh, great. We're going to get St. Joe's at home after that loss. And they're going to take it out on us. And, you know, they're going to go nuts. And
exactly.
And yeah. And then as soon as the game started, and I started by watching on my phone, it took a while for the bartender to turn on ESPNU. It was nice that we were actually on a real station. Right. So it took a while for him to get it on, but he put it on. And but even as I was watching my phone, I see us going back and forth. And I remember the words of Sammy D. If I could just hold on a second. Let me just, does this work? Yeah.
Do we deserve to be on the court?
That was going through my head. And it looked like, okay, I see us showing up, you know, a quick three off a screen for Jaden with just a pretty arc. And I'm like,
looks, there were times where I literally thought the ball never touched the net when he would shoot. It was amazing.
It's great too, because I feel like we've experienced those from other teams.
Yeah.
So it was nice for us to throw in a couple lasers where it's like, oh, this team's going to do well today. And as soon as he put that bucket in, I went, man, we deserve to be here. And then, you know, just some of the play from some of these different guys, obviously we've seen Dame come in and just do damage. When he gets in there, and it sounds like they have a Dame strategy. Have you heard this now? I think Coach Drew talked about it. How it's like Dame comes in and they try to run the offense through him when he's there. Like he's the facilitator. Mm-hmm. He's the first look guy. So when Dame comes in, he's the quarterback of the offense. And it just seems to have a really interesting effect on the other team when he starts doing the shake and bake. And you know, it's interesting, I've heard Rambler fans they don't like the YMCA you know, kind of thing, like, but I actually think, like, let's just celebrate that there's a craftiness to his game when he
agreed when
he's got bigs and he's got that dribble thing going and he gets position. You know,
there were a number of times that it happened, where he just like he had position or he would dribble into position. And there's a couple of different times where I've seen him do this where he's dribbling. I'm like, stop dribbling. But I'm like, I think he's becoming more comfortable.
Yeah.
I have visions like Bernie Salty or Donyell Bush dribbling too much. And then just like,
yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, he knows what he's doing. You know, because somebody who scored 41 last season for Dartmouth isn't some joke.
Yeah.
So anybody that scores 41 in a Division I basketball game knows what they're doing. So I'm sorry. I trust you. I just please forgive me for my lack of faith.
Yeah, there was a play toward on the stretch. There was a couple of there was a stretch where we got a big block over Man Bun. Was it Klasik was his name, or the Polish guy?
Yeah, what was his name?
It's not Klasik.
Kasper Klaschek.
Klaschek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Man Bun got blocked. This is in the stretch. This is when the game is on the line. Man Bun got blocked, and I don't remember who blocked him. You could look that up. But the next possession there was like a run out, and Dame gets the ball on the other end and splits defenders. Kashuk being one of them, another big. He splits both of them and gets the ball to the glass and gets it in. And when the camera pans on Klasik, he's just frustrated. He yells out, the F word or something. He's just really upset. But I just thought it was interesting. You talk about him, being able to get to the hoop, him frustrating defenders. That Klasik guy was so, so upset that he scored on him. And, And so I'm all here for it. I think Dame is just a great, great guy. And then it was just cool to see at the end of the stretch that even Miles replaced Dame at one point when we were in kind of a defensive mode, which is great to see Miles being trusted at the end of games.
Yeah.
You know, there were times last year, obviously, where we saw Jacob Huddy just get, you know, relegated to the end of the bench after making a mistake or after struggling. And it looks like Miles is getting, is growing in his sort of trust of Coach Drew as the season goes on. So to see him at the end of that game block Eric Reynolds the second was great. It's like when Dame's on the court, I feel like he gives us more of a chance to score. He's a scoring threat. You know, Miles didn't score in this game.
He didn't?
I don't think he did. 0 for 0. He went 1 for 4 from free throw. But Dame, when he's in the game, is a scoring threat. And he still plays pretty good defense. And then Miles obviously is a premier shot blocker now in the entire NCAA. I mean, his efficiency in shot blocking is great. So he's gonna give you some quality buckets. I also think too, did he get any assists in this game? Because I do feel like he is upping. No, he had no assists either. So boy,
but two blocks.
Yeah, two blocks, and one really important block. So
yes.
So just to have those two guys in your bag as Coach Drew, what a luxury. Not to mention Patrick coming in, because there's another guy who can score and play great defense.
And then I didn't say this about the Richmond game, but Tom Welch, I'm going to call you out for goodness. At Richmond, he was on the sideline. He's taking a position with the managers, which I found kind of interesting. It's like on the L, you know, so he's on the baseline. Never wore a warm-up the whole game. Never was in the game, but never had the warm-up. Like, he was in uniform. He was ready to get in, and he was hyping guys. He was picking guys up off the floor, that kind of thing. But then in St. Joe's, he comes in. He plays 2 minutes. He was 1 for 2 from the line. He had 2 fouls, 1 assist, in a turnover, but he had the big block and then was staring the guy down and ended up getting teed up because he was staring the guy down. Again, this goes back to our discussion earlier about, you know, teeing up. No one recalls, as everyone was like, oh, it's on discipline. Again, this is Tom Welch, Mr. Discipline himself, but who he was standing over, I think, is key. Was Mr. Lynn Greer III, who last year literally lit the Ramblers up. This was the guy who played all 3 games. I think he scored 25 points in every game and was just like, can I play Loyola every day?
Yeah. Wasn't there a game where he had 8 threes against us or something?
Yeah. I think it was that first game. And so it's like, Tom, you could stand over him. You could literally, I mean, he blocked his shot with 2 hands, did the volleyball block, and was just like, I'm all for it. Love it. Love it. Call it out. Tom Welch, what a great 2 minutes. Loved his 2 minutes.
Yeah, I saw this game, that game against St. Joe's at home last year, and I remember looking at the score sheet going, who is Lynn Greer III? Who is Eric Reynolds? Like, they came in, and I think last year St. Joe's wasn't quite as touted as they were this year. So right. I remember thinking, you know, this is after a tough Loyola season. I remember thinking, oh, St. Joe's, maybe that's a win for us. Maybe we can run with those guys.
Because they had been down.
Right.
They had been down.
And then all of a sudden these guys come in and light it up. So yeah, I'm all for it. We lost 3 games to these guys last year. And you know, they barely beat us in the tournament. But yeah, to have 3 losses in a row to any team, to come out and have this kind of win on the road, I think is a big deal.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Let's give away some awards for this game.
Let's do it.
This might be a healthy debate
Okay.
What's the JB's giant play of the game in this game? I watched that last 10 minutes and there were a couple times where I'm like, oh, this is it. and then St. Joe's claws back in or goes up again. So then I'm like, well, what was it that, is there one play that was a turning point for us in this game?
Well, I mean, the one that everyone has been talking about is the at 3:19 left in the game, Dez to Phil, inbound alley-oop, as he's doing it, I could hear your boy saying, another one, another one. You know,
DJ Khaled?
Yeah, DJ
Khaled. He's my boy?
Yeah, because, you know, I feel like you guys are
boys. Another one.
You know, it's like that was the one. But the play, that's an easy one. But I like
one thing I love about that play, though, is just the strange commentary just right before. Not strange, but the kind of perfect commentary. The ball gets swatted out by Essendoko.
Right.
And
he was a problem. That was a big dude.
He gets swatted out by him. I think he swats it out of maybe Dame's hand. And so Phil Alston was not sort of the focal point of that last, he hadn't touched the ball. And then mm-hmm. they flash on Phil just for a second. And the announcer, the ESPN announcer goes, well, they got to have come up with a plan for this guy. And then literally 2 seconds later, Phil is kind of drifting into the paint, and then all of a sudden it's alley-oop city. And it was like, oh my gosh, that announcer probably was patting himself on the back for that call, because it was very premonition, you know, a great premonition there. So that was pretty cool.
But the play that I'm going to call out is this one. Maybe a minute or two later, JD, who look, context for our two Rambler fans, it goes back to the UIC game last season where Dauber, Sammy D, you know, we're sitting in the second row and JD's inbounding the ball and Dauber calls him out. Hey, JD, you know, and all of a sudden he turns around and looks at us like, oh my gosh, we're literally that close. And so every time I see him, I think of that moment. He had ice in his veins and was not afraid to shoot, because up until that point where Norris gets the ball back from JD and he passes back to JD, the Ramblers were an 0 for 3. 0 for. Like they had clean looks and just were out, you know, didn't hit rim, air balls, clanking. I mean, we were building a house with the amount of bricks. And he had ice in his veins, says, I'm making this three. And it was laser beam, you know, scoop, you know, like don't even, the rim, the net didn't even move kind of three. And then the bench is just going nuts. And he's turning the bench. I'm all for it. That was the moment. That was the JB's giant play of the game for me.
It's interesting when you start talking about it. I thought you were going to call this is a less exciting play, but crucial was when he comes off the curl and shoots a jumper from like the free throw line the play before.
Yeah.
I actually thought when you're talking about ice in his veins, I was thinking about that play. I just thought that was a great bucket. And then to come back on the next possession, have the pass off to Norris, Norris back to Jaden, that definitely was amazing. So
yeah.
I think that those two plays together, those 5 points, and then I'll throw in the defense at the end of the game against Eric Reynolds II and
the Ruben, a huge block.
And the Ruben block. Those all play together. And this is what I love. These are the kind of wins that I love because there's not one guy that was the difference. This is a team effort. And, you know, I mean, you could even look farther down the list and point to things, great things Mwamba did, great things Adelakun did. Obviously, Miles doesn't show up on the
scoring sheet
but you know, that block
impacted the game.
The block and the defense was just great. And and then let's pick a player of the game. I mean, I think I know where you're going to go with this. Who is the Matt the Hammer Hawes player of the game for Heart and Hustle?
This can't be right. I'm sorry, I want to answer that question, and then, but before I want to answer it, I think the last St. Joe's bucket, like field goal, was at 6 minutes and 13 seconds left. That can't be right.
Well, we did go on a big run. There was one point where they flashed it up that Loyola was like an 11-0 run or some, or 8-0 run or something.
I think they literally had free throws for those final 6 minutes of the game. That's unbelievable. I'm sorry. That's just unbelievable. Okay. Again, speaks to their defense. Their defense came out to play. So my Hammer Hawes player of the game, and I'm going to say this is for both games, is Jaden Dawson. JD has arrived. And this was not against cupcake teams. You know, Richmond's a quality defended team. And I think St. Joe's as well. I mean, this was, again, St. Joe's is not some schmo. Yes, they're now 0-3 in the A-10, but they were a top 75 team. And Jaden has asserted himself as, like, we all knew coming into the season, Phil Alston, he's your number one guy. Braden Norris, he's your number two guy. Dez is he stepped up and like, hey, I should be accounted for that. Okay, so now you got 1-2-3. Now you're going to throw in Jaden Dawson, where he's the running plays for him, sets for him at the beginning of the game to get him going. And he's just going to shoot it and just be completely like unconscious. That's a recipe for, like, I'm all for it. But sign me up. So Jaden Dawson, you're my Hammer Hawes player of the game for Richmond and St. Joe's.
Yeah, he was the leading scorer in for the Ramblers in both games.
Yeah.
So his ability to shoot the three, you know, he was 4-for-8. In Philly, and then he's 4-for-10 at home. I mean, that's big. That's big. And we've talked about how we've struggled at three at different points, where we're getting open looks and we're not having the ball slice in like all the people we seem to be playing.
Right.
You know, I know Jay Quinn has struggled to get the ball in at different points. Dez has, even Phil at different points struggles. Patrick Mwamba got a nice three this game, but he seems scared to shoot it recently because he's clanked a lot. So Jaden outside of Braden is the 3-point threat from our team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy that if you're an opposing team, you're like, who do we have to worry about from three? You're going to have four of eight. You're going to have him and Braden. And then the rest of them, you're like, well, if Dez is out there, maybe, you know, or if Phil's out there, maybe we'll take that over him driving and creating chaos, you know, like, so you kind of feel like the other players, they all sort of are like, you know, obviously Tom Welch, they're not scared of from three, you know, some of those guys. So who else is there?
Right. This is to that question, who else is there? I think his game is coming, and it's Greg Dolan. I think that's a guy that he hasn't played, I think, to what he would like, because he's a grad transfer. He in the system that he played at Cornell, I heard him talking about this. I don't remember where it was, but where it was kind of free and kind of do whatever you want to do kind of thing, where it's like, I figure he's trying to figure out his role. And I love the fact that against St. Joe's, he played 12 minutes. He played, he was 0-for-2, so not great, but he had 5 rebounds. And, you know, 1 assist, and had a turnover. So it's like, I really see where his role is starting. You know, I feel like he's starting to get his legs a little bit of like, how do I fit in the system? Dame has found where he fits in. I think Pat Mwamba as well. And I really see that. I think the X factor move, you know, down the road is going to be him, where it's like, can he give us those moments off the bench, you know, where it gives Braden a spell, you know, provides, you know, someone else to worry about. And it's just like, again, speaks to the depth. I love the kind of the minutes he had, I thought were really key. I thought Jalen had some good minutes, and good run. It's like, I think both of them developing, I'm really excited to see what that looks like down the road.
Yeah, I would love to see Jalen convert on a couple of his shot attempts. Again, we don't need him to score 10 or 12 a game. We need him to come in, play good defense, not turn the ball over. So I'd love to see that. And if Greg Dolan steps up, that's great too. I mean, we've already determined that with Dame and Patrick that we're going to need minutes from different guys, different nights. Right. Not everyone's going to be on all the time. So our depth is one of our strengths. So if Greg could have a couple of, if he could have a breakout game where he gets hot, that'd be great. You know, I do think we are better as a team when we play with a lead, especially earlier in the game. I think the fact that we jumped out on a lead to these guys a little bit, I know in St. Louis, didn't we have a lead in St. Louis?
Yeah, a big lead.
Yeah. I think that gives us a lot of confidence as a team. I think when we start off cold, it's really hard for us to climb back in a game.
Agreed. And it proves it out. I think the stat they showed was, and now the Ramblers are now 8-2 when they have the lead at the half. And so with this win. So I agreed. But I like the fact that although they went down in the second half, they were trailing and came back to win. I think the Ramblers are showing a resilience that wasn't there last year or even earlier this year.
I just think it what sometimes they call it like learning, what is it? Learning on the job.
Yeah.
They're learning on the job, meaning they are learning. Like even the Richmond game, you know, might've actually helped them in this game in the sense that it was a loss. It was a tough loss at the end, but they had less turnovers in this game. Wait, did they? Hold on. I realized I totally made a mistake here. I just looked at this.
It was 16-13. So we were down by minus, we were minus three.
16, 1-2. Okay. No. Okay. I don't know where I was going with this. Yeah. So whatever. I think they're learning on the fly and are learning on the job. And I saw improvement in this game.
And JD even called this out in the post game interview with the radio guys, Scott Zudikoff and Christian Thomas. He said, you know, we didn't play our best game and we still won. That's now a couple games that's been the case where they did not play their best. You know, Duquesne here, they didn't play their best game and they still pulled out a win. That's huge.
I just figured it out. I just put it together.
Okay.
It's been driving me crazy.
All right.
What is on Jaden's sleeve tattoo that's new this year? And I was trying to figure it out for a while, and I just figured it out. This is dumb, but I figured it out.
Okay.
He now, on his arm, has this very pronounced ornate tattoo. And like it says Uno. And right. I just remembered he's number one on the team. Isn't that his number?
I think you're right.
Jaden Dawson, number one.
Number one.
Uno. So I don't know. Can a guy come up with his own nickname? Are we going to start calling him Uno?
Okay. We'll call him Uno.
But anyway, I just thought that was cool because I've been racking my brain going, what does this mean? UNO. I couldn't figure out what he was, but it's his number. So, yeah, and by the way, I looked at stats from our pictures from last year, no sleeve last year. So this work is all done in this past year. So I don't know if he came into a big NIL payment and went to the tat store and went, let's go Uno. I've always wanted Uno on one. I mean, it's really cool. So I'm down for that. Go ahead.
Something again from the post game, you know, interviews with Coach Drew, you know, he talked about, and he said, you know, CT, you were in this, were Miles taking the film session onto the court. I love it when you hear guys talk about, I took the film, I took it to practice, and now I saw the results on the court, you know, in life. And so it's just like, I thought that was a really encouraging thing, you know, moving forward of as their development and maturation as a team to where they're growing. They're still growing. This is still not the best team that we've seen yet. They still have not played their best basketball. And again, that makes me excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah, for
folks,
sure.
You think this is about, you know, like we're so pissed about UIC. Screw it. This is about the games coming up. You know, UMass, you know, Fordham, VCU coming out to VCU. With Sammy D would be in the audience for that one. You know, St. Louis is coming to, you know, you think they're going to be pissed and bringing the A game to the Gentile Center? You know, the trip to DC with against George Mason and George Washington. This is what's coming up for the Ramblers. It's like there's still a lot to play. They've only played four games. We got 14 more to go. And I love the fact that they're still growing and still learning and still, you know, like we still have not achieved what we have set out for. Love that.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. And I will say, I want to go back to Jaden Dawson for a second. You know, I took some criticism last year, our Twitter handle, because I put a picture of Jaden Dawson on a milk carton and it was more like it wasn't the best picture. So it looked a little weird. Like I was trying to troll him.
Right. No, we were not trolling,
but it was more the fact that he disappeared from the bench at the end of the game, end of the year. And the Ramblers were not very clear about what was going on with his hand and his recovery. Exactly. And I thought it was weird that he wasn't on the bench in some games. Like, I don't think he went to Philadelphia last year.
No. He did. He did. Or he wasn't at LaSalle, but at St. Joe's, he had injured his hand the game before. And then during the St. Joe's game had aggravated and really exasperated injury.
All right. My point. Yeah. He wasn't at the LaSalle game. And then I saw a game late in the year at home, and he wasn't on the bench, which is weird because it's like you'd think, well, a player, if he's rehabbing, was on campus, he would be on the bench, and he wasn't even on the bench. Now, he could have been sick or whatever, but then they weren't doing as good with the press conferences and this and that. So I never heard. So I put this thing on, and people reply, you know, DM me and said, oh, that's in poor taste.
Right.
Dobber, you cross the line, you know, and so I have felt bad about it because I didn't want to give the impression that we weren't supportive. And so it has been great to see him really start to establish himself in this role of the shooter slasher type, and just playing off of Dez, playing with Braden, starting every game almost now. It's just great to see it. This is what we wanted from him or JQ. Exactly. You know, we were kind of wondering, is one of these sophomores going to step up and be like the guy? And
we need somebody else.
He's stepping up and being the guy. And this is great for next year. It's great for this year. I posted this on Twitter, got no likes. No, I mean, I'm not smarting about that, but I did post one play that I loved from the Richmond game. It's a play where the big man has the ball. He's kind of backing down maybe Dame or Phil, and he's got his back to the basket. And Dez is slashing to the hoop, you know, maybe going over a screen or something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's running to the post. To maybe pick up a guy. And on his way to the post, he flaps his hand at the big man and gets the ball dislodged. It bounces right to Jalen, who then starts a fast break with Jaden in front of him. And he dishes to Jaden. Jaden puts in just a laser three. And transition bucket. So just like defense turning into offense.
Love transition threes.
And what I loved about that play was that's the future, right? Right, Dez? Dez is going to be here next year. Jalen's going to be here next year. Jaden, you know, hopefully all these guys are back next year. That's the future, right? You got you got these guys. They're going to play more together. If they get quality minutes now, they start creating offense and defense like this. It's, you know, the sky's the limit. Where there's going to be more of this, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what the future holds for these guys. Let's talk about what were the next couple games.
We got Wednesday. Is that right? Yeah, Wednesday the 17th at home against UMass. Again, I think this is a really intriguing game. Because what it the up to date standings. So Dayton, Richmond, and Rhode Island are 3-0. Rhode Island coming out of nowhere. They were literally like everyone's saying, you're number 15, and Rhode Island is 3-0. That's crazy. And then you got Loyola, George Washington, Fordham are all Loyola's 3-1, and Washington and Fordham are 2-1. So again, that's crazy. George Mason, UMass. So UMass is 2-2. Everyone's really encouraged about UMass. I think they suffered a really a bad loss, I think, against Rhode Island. So again, coming off a loss, but coming to Loyola, that team, I don't know what to think about them. I think they're better than people give them credit for. And that's one of those games like, again, a rock fight and the A-10, you know. But so they got UMass on Wednesday and then next weekend away at Fordham. So going out to Brooklyn to play Fordham and then back. Then they're going to VCU on the following Tuesday, the 23rd. So, and then home, wait, is that right? Oh, yeah, then they have a week off. They don't play the next weekend. And then they're home for St. Louis. So those are the next four games. So,
well, I'll be there for UMass, and I'll be really excited to see Frank Martin in person.
Francisco.
And I'm hoping that he, you know, is so flummoxed by Loyola's defense or Loyola's offense. I'm just praying to see a meltdown on the sidelines.
Yes.
I really want to see that in person. I'll be in my seats above the Wolfpack though. So I will, I'll have a good view of it, but I would love to sit in that 100 section by the visitor team bench. I would just love to see that if that happened, but, and we can only hope that that happens. Cause I would love to make some more memes of him yelling at players, which by the way, gets no traction in the A-10. You'd think, aren't other teams seeing what we're seeing?
We need to tag more of the other podcasts. I think then that's where we'll get their, you know, the other likes. So
I just, if he does it again, I want to get a good meme of him just screaming. And then I just want to like tag a couple of those people and just say, is this normal? Do you guys, are you guys
okay?
Yeah. It's like, kind of like, are you
safe? Are you safe?
Yeah. Like, do you guys think this is normal in basketball for a you know, a 55-year-old man screaming at a teenager like this? nose to nose? Like, you know, and then that weird traumatized manager
guy.
who in two seasons has been behind him each time he's screaming at a player. It's hilarious. This has
a look of like, oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So again, I think the last two games, although Richmond was a loss, unfortunate, but St. Joe's road win, and now we have...
Richmond was a loss. Fire Drew. Big road win. Oh, okay, Drew's not that bad. It's like... come on.
Well, yeah, like, Drew blows. I was like, didn't we win against St. Joe's? Like,
I know, right?
So
he's got a winning record. That's what I wrote.
I know
he's got a winning record this year and his whole tenure. He's got a winning record.
Right. He's 10 games over 500. So, but I think again, the A-10, so fascinating. Your bottom teams, Duquesne and St. Joe's, they were predicted to be in the top four or five, and they have not won a game in the A-10. And, you know, Rhode Island, Loyola, they were predicted to be towards the bottom. You know, and
Fordham was predicted to be in the bottom, right?
at least in the, that lower tier, yeah, of that 12 to 15, yes, and they're 2-1. So it's like, I think it's really a fascinating run of the next four games where I have them winning three of them, so going 3-1 in this next four. I really could see if they play like they did the last two games where they could go 4-0. But again, as I say that, in previous seasons where it's like all of a sudden they just, you know, it's not that way. But I really think they're playing, and I said this before, a couple weeks ago, but defensively, if they're a top 50 defensive team and maybe a top 100 offensive team, they will win. And I think that's played out the last two games in particular.
What I want to see is wins at home, splits, yes, on the road. That's what that would be my ideal.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, road dog, it's going to be tough to road dog every game. I mean, unless, right, we're just great, like we're even better than we think we are. Right. So I think it's going to be tough, but I'd love for us to really reestablish home. And, yes, and even though Richmond beat us, it was a tough game. It was a tough game. And I know they left Chicago, you know, feeling like they stole a win. Like, yeah, I know they felt like they could not have been happy about the way they played and the way they shot. So it reestablished that, hey, it's a tough place to come and play. Like, when they draw up a game next year, they're not thinking, oh, Loyola's a cupcake. We're going to go to Chicago, exactly, and have pizza and have fun. Like, it's, right, going to be a business trip for them next year that they come.
Yeah, agreed. So,
all right, let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
I know what you're thinking. The Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast did a podcast under 2 hours this week. For the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm your host with the jokes, Dobber, saying farewell, everybody, and go Ramblers.
Ramblers.
Wait, we lost you. Your Zoom crapped out.
Go Ramblers.
Try it again.
Go Ramblers.
Number one in the A-10.
Oh my gosh. All right, we're getting out of here.
Let's do it. Get out.
All right, it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not.
Cuties.
No, it's the Rambler Cuties. Next season.